This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The third annual Great Tree Summit will take place on Saturday at the Cincinnati Zoo. And the summit is being presented by Taking Root, the campaign to restore our region's tree canopy, with a goal of planting 2 million trees by 2020. And joining us for an update on the Taking Root effort and a preview of the Great Tree Summit are Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden Director of Horticulture, Steve Foles, and zoo horticulturist and chairman of Taking Root, Scott Berline. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Scott and Steve, thank you so much for being here today. Good to see both of you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Scott, third year for the Great Tree Summit. So it sounds like it's been well accepted and well received so far.
So far, yeah. We're really pleased. The support is as good now as it's ever been, better actually. So we're grinding along, trying to get a lot of trees planted.
Well, for the summit itself, what was the reason for creating the summit?
The first year it was mainly to just generate noise, get people excited, let them know we're doing it, get people excited, get them involved, and. But it's evolved a little bit now that this time, this summit coming up Saturday, we've got two really good speakers coming in, talk about two different approaches to getting more trees into communities. And, then we're doing our awards, which is a lot of fun. I really enjoy recognizing some folks around the city who've done something for the community with trees. And, we'll do an update on Taking Root.
Now, who are the speakers going to be?
The first one is Mike Heyman. Steve and I have both known him for many years. He comes from a community just outside of Louisville called Seneca Gardens. And in the 80s, that neighborhood, it's a very small community, was very heavily damaged by a microburst. And he was he's a photographer with the Louisville Courier-Journal. And he was assigned the task to re-canopy the community, and he knew nothing about it. So he set about learning, and he wound up meeting nursery people from all over the country. He built basically an arboretum out of his town, and it's quite remarkable to go visit down there. And he has become himself one of the foremost experts on trees in the country.
That does sound remarkable. He was able to create an arboretum from this disaster.
Right, out of the ashes, right?
Who's the other speaker going to be?
That's Meredith Cobb. She works with Five Rivers Metro Parks. And her approach is completely the opposite. Rather than come in with big specimen material of selected trees like Mike has done, she's engaging the community with seedlings that they grow and then move through a couple of different nursery processes and then into the community. So we're getting two really disparate but very interesting approaches to getting trees out in the community.
What do you feel like you've accomplished out of the previous two summits?
Mostly, I think that we've raised a lot of attention. Brought people awareness of the number of trees we're losing due to emerald ash borer and other things. And just the importance of trees in the community, you know, what they do for the environment, the economic health, and also just for people socially, communally, our health, our welfare, safety, all benefits from having more trees in the community and not less.
How's Cincinnati doing in terms of its tree canopy?
Chugging along, it took a hit with emerald ash borer for sure. And a lot of resources that normally would go into planting more trees are being used on removals. So, that's a step back, obviously. But we're catching up. The city did a really good job of planning for this, and now they're starting to get back ahead of it with more trees going in than removals.
Yeah, and you'll also be showing the documentary that was done locally, right? Trees in Trouble?
Correct. After the summit at noon, people can hang around and just catch the film if they haven't caught it already, and it's quite good, very good.
Yeah, for someone who's not seen that, what's the basic idea of that film?
Basically, that's Andrea Torrici's film. it encapsulates in 30 minutes what I've been trying to say in 3 years. It just goes into, you know, how this Emerald Ash Borer has hit the city in particular and the country in general, how, you know, what trees have meant to us, what they mean to the city, the importance of getting new trees back out there.
Steve, how many trees are at the Cincinnati Zoo? I mean, the word botanical is in the name of the organization, and sometimes people tend to think, oh, it's all about animals. But, I mean, you've got a lot of trees, plants, and yeah, different things there.
It's really quite impressive to take an urban space like that and realize that there's so much tree canopy in that urban space. And that's one of the things that we really want to promote is, you know, kind of that urban canopy. It can be done in an urban environment. I know back in the early 1900s, there were reports that the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden had every tree you could grow in this region. And we've kind of kept up with that history of really trying to show off all the different varieties of trees that grow here.
Have you ever lost trees? Do you have to replace trees very often?
Oh, yeah, constantly. We're constantly planting. I think that's one of the things that, you know, cities in particular, you know, you can plant 1,000 trees, but, you know, look behind you and you've, you know, through construction and destruction, you've probably taken out 2,000. So it's really important to really keep up with the planting. And this goes for schools, municipalities, you know, businesses. We just need to keep planting more trees, but also protecting the larger trees that are nearby. And, you know, don't take the trees that are, you know, 30, 40 years for granted. You know, you can't just take out trees and say, oh, we're going to replant twice as many and it'll equal the canopy. We really have to do a better job at kind of identifying the quality trees in our communities and protecting those.
How important are trees to the local environment? I mean, what kind of benefits do we get from those?
Oh, the cooling right off the bat. If you ever looked at a satellite image, you can see the heat from all the urban areas from the satellite. And, you know, so just the cooling alone. I know at the zoo, you know, anytime you see a mom and a stroller in the summer, they're huddled in the shade of a tree. So just that one factor alone is critical. The cleaning of our air, I mean, you can't put a price tag on that. Those are two main things. And then, you know, you think about wildlife, you know, the birds and, you know, all the everything that lives in those trees depends on those trees, including us. So
are there any trees at the zoo that stand out for their age or their size?
Oh, yeah. We've got a red oak right in the center part of the zoo was there when it was Blakely Woods back before the zoo even started. And then there's probably several other that are in that 130-year-old category. Those are our best trees.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And Taking Root is presenting the Great Tree Summit, Scott. So let's talk about the Taking Root campaign.
Okay.
Where did the idea for doing that come from?
You know, it came out of a conversation over a beer, like so many great things. It was a number of us from the zoo, some Civic Garden Center folks in Brewster Roads, just enjoying a beer at the Civic Garden Center after work one day, 3 or 4 years ago now. And just in conversation, talking about all the many problems that are you know, plaguing our urban forest right now, particularly, of course, Emerald Ash Borer, and just the great hit we're taking on our tree canopy because of it. And, you know, said that proverbial, hey, somebody's got to do something about it. And lo and behold, it turned out to be us. So, and before I knew it, Brewster had gotten OKI involved and the Green Partnership of Greater Cincinnati, and I came by way of the zoo, and so that's how it began.
Where did the $2 million figure come from? Was there anything that,
yeah,
significant?
That was simply out of thin air. You know, hey, there's 2 million people in the tri-state. If we could get one tree planted for each person, wouldn't that be cool? You know, it's quite you know, a number, and we're working our way towards it. But we need people to plant trees. And this isn't taking root is planting trees. Oh, yay, taking root. Thanks for doing that. No, taking root is telling everybody else to plant trees. We all need to do this. This is something we all need to be a part of. So get out there, plant a tree, register it on our website so we can count them. And we're having a lot of luck with we're taking kind of a different path, working on some things with local nurseries and now some landscapers who are in the process of registering trees they sell and plant. So we're trying to get that built up and get some involvement from – a little bit more involvement from the green industry. It's been strong all along. We're trying to build on it.
What do you think of the response so far?
I love it. I've been – you know, it's just incredibly motivating to see so many people really appreciating what you're doing and trying to be a part and helping out, getting inspired and doing something themselves.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk with Michael in New Richmond. Hi, Michael.
Hello there. I just jumped in the car and heard you guys talking about trees, and I was just talking to somebody else about doing perennial agriculture using trees, nut trees, and fruit trees. Are you all getting into that at all?
We're not discouraging anybody from it. That's a great way of getting more trees in the ground. And a really good way to do it for nature with nut trees and oak trees and fruit-bearing trees that actually benefit us and nature a lot. So I know there's different groups that are really involved in that and doing a lot of it. And we'll count nut trees and fruit trees just like we'll count oak trees or maples. So
any kind of tree, as long as it's a tree, it's going to have benefits then.
Yeah, any plant will have benefits. Trees, just by their sheer size, carry more weight.
Size and longevity, I would think,
yes,
are the two things they have going for them.
Absolutely.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Dave in Glendale. Hi, Dave.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on. I just had a quick question about some of the economic benefits of planting trees, you know, being in a capitalist society that seems to drive a lot of the decisions, a lot of the policy out there. So what studies/evidence is there for maybe some of the more quantifiable economic benefits of planting trees?
Okay. So,
yeah, number one, I'd say, you know, resale value of property values of houses. You know, you look at a community like Marymount, and, you know, a planned neighborhood with a canopy from the beginning. I have photos of Marymount being constructed. The trees were actually there first and the houses went in second. And you compare that with pretty much any of the neighbors of Marymount around it. And first, it's just nicer. It looks wonderful. It looks like a place where you would want to live. And people are willing to pay for that. So that's one driving factor. Steve often quotes – yeah, go ahead.
Well, I know there's some research being done in Texas on the value of trees in the landscape. Plus, there's also a there's actually a tree benefits calculator that'll give you actually the cost of benefits for each type of tree and how large the tree is. And that's how cities are starting to quantify the value and the benefits of their tree canopy. And so if you're familiar with the iTree tree calculator, look that up, and it's pretty interesting. But that's a hard thing to do, to quantify the value of a tree.
But
good
like
question.
In general, though, Steve, like you were saying earlier, there are a lot of benefits, health, environmental, otherwise, to planting and having a good tree canopy.
Right. I mean, hospitals they're starting to put a lot of work into how their grounds look, and even creating spaces where they can look out windows and see green. And there's a lot of research that shows that, you know, people are on less medication. They get better quicker. And those are some of the things that are starting to be quantified now. So this is a big, big deal.
Louise in Miami Heights joins us now. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
My question is, last summer I seemed to notice that the sycamores and the maples, some of them were looking kind of sick. Are they being affected by the emerald ash borer or by something else, or was I just hallucinating?
Well, first off, the emerald ash borer only attacks ash trees, so it wouldn't be a problem for any other tree that's out there. Although the sycamore, we had a lot of rain, so there's a... it's a minor disease. It's called anthracnose, and it you know, just makes the leaves look a little thinner, and you would definitely notice a problem. And I did definitely see a problem with the London plane trees in particular, sycamores. But those aren't issues that, you know, they'll come and go with the weather. They won't kill the tree, so that's not an issue. But it is important to pay attention to, you know, just watching how trees look. But
let's talk to Ian at UC. Hi, Ian.
Hi. I was wondering if any of the 2 million trees that are going to be planted are any variety of ash that have been known to be less susceptible to emerald ash borer.
I think a few people are playing around with some of the Asian species of ash because they are resistant, unlike our own native ash trees are. You know, we'll count any tree that gets planted except for pears, which are invasive. People are starting to talk about replanting ash trees. I don't personally recommend it at this point. The emerald ash borer is going to move out of the area fairly soon, and the numbers will crash because all the ash will have, you know, died. But I think I would recommend a lot of other trees ahead of ash right now, and just see, kind of take a wait and see attitude about how this rolls out with whatever level of emerald ash borer remains after most of the ash trees are gone.
And go ahead, Steve.
I also think the key to all this is just diversifying your plantings, making sure you're using a lot of different genus, a lot of different species, a lot of different cultivars. Anytime we overuse a tree, there's going to be a disease or an insect that comes in and evens things out. So just keep diversifying your plantings.
Let's talk with Bob in Newport. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Just listening to your program, I think it's fantastic. I wanted to tell you about our little program down here in the Newport Historic District. In the past 2 years... two seasons, planting seasons, we planted over 200 trees in Newport down here.
Very good.
And the reason we've got so much support from our local government down here, the mayor and the city council are behind it. They do a lot of the prep work. But we planted, it's a lot of work, and we have Rachel Comity and who got us started on this, and we're really, really enthusiastic about the program. So I encourage everyone to go out, and it takes a lot of community effort. We sponsor it down here with the East Row Historic Foundation and the East Row Garden Club, and it's a lot of fun, and we planted one out in our house, and it's fantastic. You know, it's a lot of fun. You get a Saturday.
You get a lot of satisfaction, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Bob, are you available to speak at the summit?
Well, we're going to have, as a matter of fact, we're having on the 16th, I think it is, we're having the program down here at the sanctuary at 6th and Monroe, and we're going to show the documentary, et cetera, and we encourage everybody to come out.
Bob, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Scott, how good are you feeling about making that 2 million mark by, what is it, 2020 you're aiming
for? A little nervous, to be honest with you.
Okay.
So, you know, any of the big corporations in Cincinnati that want to bail us out, give me a call. you know, it's all good. I you know, the whole registration process is a little – it's hard to do. But we'll see. We'll work at it. We'll do our best.
Well, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, you're welcome.
Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden Director of Horticulture Steve Foles and Zoo Horticulturist and Chairman of the Taking Root Campaign Scott Berline.